we just hang out. I told them to forgive me for having my jeans on today.
That's all right. That's all right.
My wife left me with the kids for 10 days. And you ought to be glad I was able to find some jeans. It is truly an honor to stand here today, giving honor to God, who is the best thing that has ever happened to me.
One of the
things that we have to be cognitive of and careful of, that when people do good things for us, that we don't circumvent and put them higher than what God has been to us.
Yes, yes.
So no matter what you've done for me, God is still the best thing that has ever happened to me. Now, you've been good to me, but God is.
Yes, sir.
I tell my wife all the time, girl, you are fine as all outdoors, but God is still the best thing. Because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, my enemies would have swallowed me up.
Go ahead.
I remember a time when I was sleeping behind a liquor store.
Come on, sir. Come on.
Trying to find my way. And when everybody else turned their back on me, God remembered what he called me before the foundations of the world. So for that, he is the best thing that ever happened to me. And also, this is just my disclaimer that I don't preach for a living. I preach because I'm living. Because I used to be dead sleeping in on my own grave. But God, who is rich in mercy, remembered his plan and his promise for me before me.
That's right.
And I just thank God for that to your wonderful, illustrious Pastor Bishop Kevin Richardson and his beautiful wife. We salute you on the day. 4 years. Some people don't make it 4 days. We thank God for 4 years. And as the deacon said, if God tarries on May 1st, it'd be 7 years for me pastoring, and on June 3rd, it'd be 44 years of ministry. I say this and I will move out. So often people put you in a box when you come from a lineage of anointed people of God.
That's right, sir. That's right.
And so often they tell you that you got some big shoes to fill. My father was a giant in the gospel. And I use this analogy all the time when people that knew my dad and when I ministered for them, I always tell them that I remember a few years ago when my little son Caleb was up getting ready for school. See, I'm the dad, I get the kids out for school. So years ago, I get my little ones out for school. And I remember one morning I was laying in the bed and I heard a struggle coming from his room. It was not just a normal struggle. You know, sometimes he's struggling because he's doing something he's supposed to do. But this was a distinctive struggle. It summons my cognitive and daddy response, if daddy is a word.
Daddy, we'll use
that. I hurriedly got up and ran into the room because I felt the distress in his struggle. And when I got in, I looked at him and he was struggling to put on the new shoes I just bought him. They were high tops. And he was struggling to put the shoes on. And I said, I gotta help him put these shoes on. So immediately I got on my knees and I began to kind of help him put on these new shoes. It seemed like the more I tried to get the shoes on, the more he was getting frustrated and trying to kick the shoes off. But these shoes cost me a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
These shoes cost me something.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
And no matter how hard he tried to kick against these shoes, I was determined that he was going to put these shoes on.
Yes, sir.
And so I immediately got up and you know, I ran to the kitchen to get the spoon. So y'all got the little shoe off here. Y'all bougie. But for some of y'all from down south, y'all know we had to go get not the teaspoons, but the tablespoons.
That's right. That's right.
And immediately I ran back in the room and I got back on my knees because I was determined that he was going to get these shoes on because these shoes cost me something.
Yes,
you go ahead.
And I put the spoon in, and when I put the spoon in, I struggled a little bit, and immediately the shoes popped on. And as soon as the shoes popped on, he was off and running. I said all that to say that I'm standing in my own shoes.
Yes, sir.
All right. Come on, yeah.
But my daddy helped me put them on.
All right.
I like it.
My daddy helped me put these on. It was
like
a struggle because it cost him something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
18 years of my life, I was homeless, sleeping behind liquor stores, strung out on crack. But these shoes caused him something. Sleepless nights, nights of prayer, nights of tarrying, nights of crying, seeking the Lord. He said, you told me my son wouldn't be lost, but it looks like he's lost.
Come on, son.
These shoes caused him something. So I stand here today grateful because it's only because of him that I am. And I don't get it twisted. Because it could have been the other way.
Yes.
Come on.
I just want to preach this as a spiritual lead. I want all of the elders and Minister Wendell Wright and Pastor Olds. We bless you for being here. To the deacons and to First Lady and to Sister Lynette, mind of my school. They helped me get my AA degree. I'm struggling. I think I'm the only person that was in the AA program for 18 years. But I made it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And God tells. About 4 weeks from now, Brother Luther, we'll be seniors working on our Masters of the Divinity of the Genius.
Right.
In the back, and Elder Cassandra Dickerson, and we have Minister Rufus, our Chief Ministry Officer, Deacon Butler, and all of those Minister Theo, who is our worship leader, and man, he's an awesome man of God. We need
some.
I got some. The ones right there, the little gray hair, that's our salt ministry. They roll with the brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
All I gotta do is pass the word. They gonna roll with them, bro. Amen. Amen. So I said, Deacon Michaels, amen, amen. Listen, I just wanna go to the word. I just wanna go to a familiar passage of scripture. Joshua chapter 3.
Okay.
Come on. Joshua chapter 3. And I don't know what your custom is here when our musician, amen, she went to old school. I said, yeah, you girl. When you, it's our custom at home to stand for the reason.
Yeah.
That awesome dance ministry, awesome.
Yes.
You know, they were not just good, they were anointed. Amen. There's a difference. Amen. We thank God for that. Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to begin at verse number 1. And I'll stop when the Lord tells me to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. And it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all of the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never gone this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Then Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you.
Come on, Jim.
After 3 days, I want to go back up. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving these orders to the people. When you see the ark of the Lord, of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move from your positions.
Well,
and I don't want you to grow in frustration with me when I give you my subject, but because I know since you've been established back in March of 2014, I believe it is, you've moved multiple times. And I believe that March 1st, you was 2 years that you've been here. So I don't want you to get mad. I don't want the people to get upset. But all I want to do is speak from the subject tonight. It's time to move. I know you get comfortable. I know moving is challenging, but I just came to tell you today, decree and declare that I know this is good, but it's time to move. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Hide me behind the cross so that I too may marvel at your words. Give me revelation, knowledge, and clarity of speech. Let lives be changed. Hearts be fixed. And relationships be restored. Father, this is the prayer, God, that I prayed, God, that I believe it lines up with your will. So if it lines up with your will, God, I believe you heard me. And if you've heard me, then I know I have what I've asked in you. In Jesus' name. Just look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor it's time to move.
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 It's time.
One of the things that we must understand as we get to this text.
Oh, Jesus.
This text is an eschatology of a mindset of people who were ready to be free.
Correct.
In time. In time. This is the culmination of a movement.
Yes, sir.
The culmination of a movement. And when we see this text, we are dealing with people who had been delivered and been set free out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. You remember when the people were in bondage to Egypt? They were in a place where they were not free to do as they chose. And God has set a time for the people to be free. Mm-hmm. He raises up Moses, and Moses can't speak. So Moses has these excuses, and Moses goes, and he said, don't worry about the excuses. I'm going to give you a spokesman. I'm going to raise up your brother. He's going to go with you. He says, so what did I do? What do I say when I go to Pharaoh? He says, who do I tell him sent me? He says, tell him I am.
Yes.
I sent you.
Right.
And that starts a lot of trouble, because as soon as you lifts up I am, the enemy gets terrified. So the enemy begins to come and punch you.
Come on.
But we go move on, and then as Moses was taking the people, and Pharaoh had granted them their wish, he changes his mind and he pursues them. And then when he pursues them, they find themselves between a rock and a Red Sea.
Yes,
they find themselves with a sea at their back and their enemies pursuing them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Moses complains. Moses wants to complain. And God says, what do you have in your hand? I'm not asking you about what they have in their hand. Because it's always about your perceptions about your possessions. It's not about the thing that God's going to do for you. Is not going to be done through nobody else's hands. It's going to be done through what you have in your hand.
That's good.
And he lifts up his rod, and when he lifts up his rod, it says that the waters dried up. The wind came, and it says that when they began to cross, they crossed on dry ground. Now that is very specific. That's very, because I believe that the Bible doesn't waste any words. It says that not only did the water rise and move back, he says, but the ground was dry.
Come on, sir.
But I asked him, I said, why would God go through such detail to make sure that the ground was dry? And I began to realize, he says, because sometimes God has to dry the ground, because if he doesn't dry the ground, you're trapped where you've been.
Yes, sir.
Where you're going.
My mother
used to say that, Kevin, wipe your feet before you come in the house, because if you don't wipe your feet, where you've been,
we'll
mess up where you are.
Oh, wow.
So now they get into the wilderness, and then they begin to complain. And then we move, and because Moses went with a good idea over a God idea and wanted to send spies, him and 2 million people didn't get a chance to possess the promise. You know how it is when God tells you something, then you call a board meeting, and the board alters what God tells you, and now you dummy back on what God tells you, and you go with a good idea over a God idea. And so many people are dying because churches are going with a good idea over a God idea. But he allows Moses to see it, and then he raises up Joshua, and he tells Joshua that everywhere your foot shall step, I have given you. I will give you. We got to be careful about reading through the text too fast, because we'll mess up content and we'll take it out of context. He says, not I have given given it to you. So you don't have to step on it to get it. You just have to step on it to experience what you already have. That's huge right there. Yeah. That's huge right here. People are telling us we don't have it because we haven't stepped on it. No, you have it. You just not experiencing what God has already given you.
Come on, tell.
So he raised up Joshua. And then we find the people now. It says that the people have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years.
Come on, sir.
I come to challenge that. I know I'm messing up theology, but I tend to challenge that these people were wandering for 40 years. Because if you read the text and you understand the movement of the people, you will find out that they only wandered for 38 years. Because the last 2 years they spent coming out. That's why you have to be careful about allowing people to write your story. Because people will say you're wandering when you're really exiting. Okay. I know I ain't where you saw me last year, but I'm not wandering, I'm exiting. I know my surroundings look the same. I know I still got some of the same folk in my corner. But don't you mistake it, baby. I'm not wandering here. I'm coming out of this. Somebody and say, I'm coming out. I know I'm in the same house. I know I'm on the same job, but I got an exit plan. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this. I know I'm here, but I'm coming out. I'm no longer aimlessly wandering. I'm exiting.
Yeah.
So here, we get to the text. We get to the text. That was just my introduction. We get to the text. We get to the text. And when we get to your text, it says that the people now are camped out in Shittim. Now, you must understand, as a leader, Pastor, can I just talk to you for a second? And if you don't mind, if we have a conversation. As a leader now, you have one of the most difficulties, and one of the most difficult things as a leader is getting people to move from Shittim. Hear me out before you put me out. Here is the getting people moving from Shittim now, because the word Shittim is it simply means moisture. Now, you must understand. Now, you got to realize these people have been wandering in a dry place for 38 years. And if you're not careful, when you've been wandering, when you've been going through a dry season, you can have the tendency to settle for the first moist place you come up to. People who's gone through a dry season and now things are getting better and you want to hang out there. But I come to tell you now that you can't hang out something that's better than where you've been when it's not where God has called you to be. Okay. See, people hang out with moisture. Sometimes girls, they hang out with moist men. They're not the God chosen man, but because they're better than the boyfriend they used to have, they hang out there. And I come to tell somebody in here, it's time for you to get out of a moist place and move to a wet place. Because God has not called you to better, He's called you to purpose.
Okay. Moisture. It's hard to get people to move because they become comfortable because it's better.
Yeah.
That's why it's time to move.
Come on.
I know this is nice. I like this spot. This place is really good. But it's moist.
Come on, sir.
It's moist. It's better than where you've been.
Yes.
But it's not where you're going. Okay. I know the chairs look good. I know you got a room. I know. But I come to tell you that one of the most dangerous things for a believer is camping out in better and missing out on best.
Here it is in the text. As we move to the text, it says that God tells Joshua, I know these people are comfortable, but I need you to upset their comfortability. I know they've been here for 2 years and things look good, but I need you to go and tell them it's time to move. It's time to move. They've been wandering around this mountain long enough. But it's time. To move.
Yep.
So what he does is he tells his leaders. His leaders go throughout the camp. That's why you gotta have good leaders, because the good leaders need to be able to communicate exactly what you're saying. The leader does not need to lead with your vision and curtail it to become their vision. Because sometimes when you give an assignment to a leader, by the time they get to the people, it's their vision and not your vision. So here it is. I'm going to give you three things that we're going to get out of here. I want to give you three things that you must do when it's time to move.
Yes, sir.
It says that when the leaders went throughout the camp, they gave them these instructions. It says, when you see the ark of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you ought to move.
Right.
Stay, don't get too close. Don't get too close because you've never gone this way before. Mm. But now the leaders give instruction. This is how I know that the leadership had curtailed the vision to meet theirs. Because even because a leader, a true leader empowers his people, and he does not contradict his people except when they, when what they say contradicts the vision. Because he came back, he said, I know they just told you something. He said, but before you do, I need you to consecrate yourself. Read the text. Read the text. After they went through and gave instructions, he came back and said, hold up.
Wait a minute.
Consecrate yourself. That, but any good leader is not scared of his leadership.
No, sir. No, sir.
He came back. So the first thing you must understand when it's time to move is there must be a consecration. Number one. Maybe those consecrations. Bishop, God is getting ready to move you, but the first thing he needs you to do, he needs, there needs to be a consecration. Consecration, there needs to be a separation, there needs to be a sanctification, there needs to be a tearing apart. And for some of us, before God can take us to the place that he has promised us, we need to separate ourselves from stuff that is detrimental to where we're going. Okay. I tell people all the time that when I was little, I used to go and play in a place called the Big Dipper. My mother used to tell me to stop going in the Big Dipper, and I told a story to my mother, said I won't go back to the Big Dipper. But when I came home one day, she said, boy, why have you been in the Big Dipper? I said, Mom, I haven't been in the Big Dipper. How do you know I've been in the Big Dipper? You see, in the Big Dipper, it was the woods. And back then, they had little things called hitchhikers. And the hitchhikers would get all over your clothes. So no matter how much you said you hadn't been there, what you're carrying proves you have been there. And before you can get to where you're going, you got to shake off the hitchhikers. Okay. And before God can get you into your promised land, you got to shake off some stuff. You got to consecrate yourself from stuff that is coming and is detrimental to where you're going. Because what couldn't kill you will try to go with you and destroy your future. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to say that. But I need you to understand that you got to be careful about being so pressed to have somebody to carry your bags. Because sometimes the people that are carrying your bags were trying to kill you. And because they can't kill you, they will go with you and kill your future. Do it this. You got to consecrate yourself. You got to shake off anything that God is not taking with you in this season. You got to do some deconstruction before you can do some reconstruction. Number two, I'm almost done. Number two, the second thing. First thing is what? Concentration. The second thing that you must do when it's time to move is that there must be concentration.
That's right.
It's right there. It's in the text. You see, if you read too fast, you'll miss it. It says right there. He said, now what I need you to do is I need, when you see the ark of the Lord, God, your, the covenant, he says, I need you and the priest carrying it. That's the biggest piece right there.
Right.
See, what's happening is that we don't pay attention.
All right.
And we are watching for the wrong signs. He didn't say, I need you to follow anybody carrying the ark. He said, I need you to follow the Levitical priests that are carrying ark. Watch this, you must understand. Because truth be told, we are following priests, but we're not following priests because they're carrying God. We're following priests because they got jets and they got business. But I don't know about you, but when I get a doctor report and they call the family in at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't need nobody driving a Bentley. I need somebody that's carrying God. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor. You gotta pay concentrate because you gotta make sure you carry somebody that can get a hold of God when you can't get a hold of him for yourself.
Come on, come on.
Concentration. Concentrate. God is getting ready to move us. God is getting ready to take us. God is getting ready to cross us over. It's what he has promised us. But we got to concentrate. We got to stop moving because somebody else tells us to move. And we got to follow somebody that's carrying God.
Come on.
My last point. We done.
Glory.
First thing that must be consecration. Second thing that must be concentration. Third thing that must be acceleration. It's in the text. It's in the text. See, I didn't know if you were Baptist or not, so I didn't give you 3 points.
No, not
that. I mean, I had to give you
3 points. That's okay. It's all right.
Just in case you were. So what you must understand.
School said the same.
What you must understand. He says, now when you see the Ark of the Lord covenant, Lord of God, and the priest carrying it, he says, move. He didn't say pray.
No.
Move. He didn't say call an executive board meeting.
No, move.
He said, when you see God,
yeah,
and you know it's God,
yeah.
Move. Good God Almighty. That's all I got to tell you. He said, you don't need to call a meeting right now. You need to start packing. Because God is getting ready to move you into a new season. He said, because you've never gone this way before. And if you tarry, you'll miss God. And God is trying to get you somewhere, but you gotta be close enough to God that you can see where He's leading you. God is trying to take you somewhere you've never gone before, but you're having meetings and not moving.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Too many meetings and not moving.
Yeah.
Well, which way? That's why Moses missed it, because he had a meeting.
Yeah, he did.
Instead of him moving, he had a meeting.
Yes, sir.
He says, I need you to move.
Yes.
Because when I move, you move.
Yes.
Yes. Just like that.
Just like that. That's what he told me.
I know they don't understand it. He says, but he uses the spiritual things to confound the wise.
Yes, sir.
And when God shows you something,
mm-hmm.
when God gives you a vision.
Right.
Now, certain things are voted on, but vision is not voted on.
No, sir.
Amen.
No, sir. No.
I'm just trying to move.
Go ahead, man.
I got a problem with
it. Make it plain.
Amen.
But when you see God moving,
yes.
you need to move.
That's yes. it.
And anybody that keeps you from moving need to be moved.
Amen.
Come on.
Well.
There must be a celebration. There must be acceleration. There must be consecration. There must be concentrate. There must be acceleration. Now, I need you to understand this. And I'm done. When they began to move, he says that when they moved, that the priests going out, they touched their foot in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the water was separated.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
See, the reason why you need to move
mm-hmm.
is because what happens is the priests that were carrying the ark of the Lord God, your covenant, went and stood in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hear me. I am the Lord thy God, I change if not. I hear you, God.
Mm-hmm.
But God is not man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he changes his mind. But here God changes his strategy.
God is mine.
God changes his strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
These priests go and they stand in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Of the water, of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
When they came out of Egypt, in Exodus, he stayed behind them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he moved in front of them. Yeah. He was a pillar of cloud by day.
Mm-hmm.
And a pillar of fire by night.
Yes.
And when the enemy was getting close, he moved from in front of them
mm-hmm.
to behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing that was giving you light was causing them confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Watch this. But one of the things, but the thing that was happening is when God moved from in front of them,
mm-hmm.
they became weary.
Mm-hmm.
So God said, okay, I understand. You always need to see me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so, I got to change my strategy in order to bring you over this body of water.
Mm-hmm.
See, because last time I thought you were mature enough. I thought just the mere fact that you were walking through a Red Sea that was opened up, that was enough for you to trust me. He said, but I understand you ain't ready for that. You always need to see me. You need me to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so that you won't mess this one up and you so close to your promise. He said, I'm going to get to a position that no matter where you are in the process, you'll always see me.
Yeah.
It says that the priest carrying the ark of God went and stood in the middle. So no matter where you were going through the process, you'll always see God. Okay, I gotta go. I got to go. Bishop Wright just walked in the house. But I need you to look at somebody and tell somebody that no matter where I am, I still see God. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, I don't know what you're going through, but wherever you are in the going through process, you can still see God. I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord like this in the land of the living. Slap by with somebody and say, I see God. No matter what I'm going through, I still see God. So let me close with this. This is it. So one of the things that you must understand is that it says that when they put their foot in the water, it says the waters that were coming from upstream.
Yeah,
because different bodies of water filled there. Jordan. It says there was a water that would come from upstream that piled up in a heap. Y'all go back to this later on. Mm-hmm. It says the waters were coming and they were, and it says that they piled up in a heap.
Okay, that's what it said.
Okay. So I don't know if any of y'all ever went down on Sutton Parkway back when we had a president.
Come on, sir.
Back in 2016 when we had a president, if you ever went down Sutton Parkway, at the time we had a president, and the president would come down Sutton Parkway on the way to Andrews Air Force Base. And what happened was, if you were on Sutton Parkway.
Come on. Yes, sir.
If you were on Sutton Parkway. You didn't have to get off Sutton Parkway.
No.
But the motorcade and the police would come in front of them, and no matter where you were, you had to stop.
That's right.
So what God is saying in this season that he's getting ready to move you, don't worry about who's on your road. He says because he's escorting you to your promise, and whoever's on your road, they don't have to leave, but they got to stop. Who's that for right here? He said, because you praying to God take some people away, and God says, I'm not going to take them away. He says, how are they going to testify about how I bless you in spite of them unless I call them to stay on the road? But they got to stop. Stop by with somebody and say, they got to stop. 2018 is the year where you don't have to leave, but boo, you got to stop. You have to stop trying to stop me, because greater is he that is in me. But you gotta
stop.
Yeah. Stop. The last one. So the rest of the water.
Stop.
The rest of the water. Because you know that's from the Baltimore Street. The ones that are coming up here. He said they don't have to leave. Tell boo, you don't gotta go nowhere.
Because
I need you to be a witness to what God did for you in spite of you. We don't know that our enemies are our fans. They just don't know how to express it.
You
don't have to stop. But what about the rest of the water? What about the rest of the water?
Yeah.
It says, but the water that was coming from downstream were completely cut off. So there are some people in your life that you don't got to worry about them leaving, but they don't have to stop. But for the other people that came to do you harm, they were completely cut off. There were some things that were coming, and they thought they were going to stop you. They thought they were going to put you out. They thought they were going to destroy you. God said, you're not even going to get on the road. He says, I'm going to cut you off. Oh, God, you don't have to cut your enemy off. God will cut your enemy off.
Jesus.
In 2018, it's time to move.
Yes, sir.
Stop worrying about it, because some people got to stop, and God's going to cut them folk off.
Yes, sir.
I'm done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we pray in this season
my God.
That you're moving. Some of us don't get into position because of our opposition. But God says if we get in position, he'll deal with our opposition.